Welcome, everybody, inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with my man Cam Tabatabai. We are in the thick of free agency. Well, I actually kind of tail end, actually, because a lot of the seismic stuff has already gone down. The Celtics back on the map after it looked like we were going to be up Schitt's Creek. Kemba Walker coming to town. Cam, what do you think?
I think it was an incredible pivot. It was out of the country, so I didn't use my cell phone for like a week. And I was just kind of scrolling through to see the news. And I think I read the Kemba Walker news five times before it clicked in my head. Not because it's that earth-shattering. It was so out of left field.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was like to get the updates in real time, but no one saw that coming, right?
No, I mean, we talked about this on the pod last week. We were talking about potential situations, and obviously we breezed over a potential Kemba Walker. This was kind of like before, and maybe some rumblings had been heard that was a potential play, but you know, we didn't really put any stock in it because we were like, oh, you know, the Celtics really need a big guy, and you know, there's probably other options. Bringing in like a veteran point guard probably would have been easier, you know. Yeah. And grabbing one of the better big guys that was available seemed like it was more, you know, you could probably get two players with all that cap room.
But
it was just like it shifted. I don't know if it was like Thursday or what day it was last week that all of a sudden it was this started the, it was like an avalanche.
Well, this free agency has been so fun because there's been so much obvious tampering.
Yeah, you're right. Kyrie with a documentary that he's probably been working on for 6 months.
Yeah, no one else saw him like close down the Brooklyn Bridge. Danny at the draft was like, yeah, people want to come play with the Celtics. They want to come play with, and he was so confident and he was so classic coy, but I remember trying to read it and not knowing if he was talking about Al Horford or what was happening there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just like we know this goes on, but the level of like just disregard this year for, I mean, everybody just kind of accepts it as that's fact now that, you know, these guys are this whole, I've been hearing since last summer about Kyrie and Kevin Durant teaming up, and, you know, a lot of the local sports guys in Boston on the radio, oh, they're going to go to the Knicks. They're going to go to the Knicks. And I'm kind of glad, like, there's still a little egg on their face because they didn't go to the Knicks. You know, it ended up being Brooklyn.
Well, if the report's true that the Knicks didn't offer Durant the max, I think it's very possible that the Knicks were in play as recently as last week. Because that one doesn't feel like tampering. That's just two friends who want to hang out.
Right. Just no, and I totally get it. And, you know, obviously it's, you know, close back to home. I mean, I was trying to think of this, like, if you were a kid like Kyrie growing up, you know, would he be a Knicks fan or would he be a Brooklyn, you know, because he was in the New Jersey Nets. He's actually from New Jersey. The Knicks have been a mess for a long time, but the Nets had a really good squad when he was a kid. I mean, they had Vince Carter, Jason Kidd. They made some runs to the titles there when he was a young kid. So it wouldn't shock me if Brooklyn, you know, was actually closer to his heart, even though it may not be closer to him being in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about Kyrie. I mean, we can talk about Kyrie. No, let's lead with Kemba because Kyrie.
Yeah. Let's go with the guy we got because I've been watching highlight videos like a maniac. And funny thing that I just noticed before we started podding, you tweeted out this morning, who is the best player that Kemba Walker has played with? And we'll give the audience a second to think about it. Right? Well, who is it? Right? Because when I saw that tweet, I couldn't think of it right away, and you actually had a pretty funny response.
Well, so my thinking was, what's Kemba's feeling? And we don't know because he's never played with any good players. In 13-14, Al Jefferson was named to the NBA third team, but that's it. 1 year of okay Al Jefferson in a post-big man world. Nick Batum for a minute. You know, it's just like the cupboard is so barren. And if you look at Kemba's career stats, I mean, he's been in the league since 2011 now. They're not overwhelming, but then when you put it in the context of who has he been playing beside, it's pretty spectacular. I mean, he's only been into the playoffs twice. They've never been higher than a sixth seed, the Hornets, in his time there. So in some ways, there's like a little bit of pause. There's the stench of mediocrity surrounding Kemba. But goodness, I mean, how could he succeed? We've never seen him play with true fellow all-stars.
Yeah, and I mean, people, you know, he's kind of just about as close as you could get into the league as a copy of Kyrie Irving, at least similar right. games, right? In terms of being scorers, great handle, big shot guys. These guys, you know, they have the brass balls at the end of a game. And yet, like, people will point to his efficiency being a little less, his shooting. But, I mean, really, when he's probably double-teamed all the time. I mean, think about going back to earlier this year when Kyrie was talking about when Kemba lit us up. I think it was the game in March, right? And Kyrie said, well, that was one of his shots at Stevens anyways with, maybe we should have double-teamed him like everybody else does, you know? This is going to be the best roster that he's ever played with, for sure.
By a long shot. He also, I mean, he's 29. I think he turns 30 in the fall or something. But he doesn't have that many minutes. He's only played 20,000 minutes, which is not that much. That's like Eric Gordon has played more than he has. He's 59th in minutes played in the league, even though he's on the older side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when I look for moments of pause just on balance, it's, you know, he doesn't have a track record of winning, but like we're establishing, how could he? And he's slightly on the older side, you know, the contract could look tough in year three or four, but I mean, he has so few minutes logged that maybe not. And I can't really remember him suffering like a super consequential injury. Can you?
No, I don't. Even going back to college, I think he's only missed like I forget. I looked at the number the other day, and I mean, he certainly missed a lot less games than Kyrie Irving in a much longer career, I think. So
right.
He
had a neck sprain.
Yeah, and I mean that compared to having a knee issue or some kind of elbow issue is definitely a positive.
Yeah, because they came in the league the same year, and Kyrie's played 3,000 fewer minutes because he's been injured so much.
Did they really come in the same year? Was it the same draft?
Wasn't it? Maybe it was a year after.
Oh, okay, maybe I botched that up. But
it's around the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's just because he's gone under the radar for so long. It seems like, you know, he hasn't been there as long. But that's kind of being buried over there in Charlotte with like the mediocre teams. I mean, nationally televised games do you think he's played? None. Unless, except for maybe, random ass Sunday afternoon game or something.
I think it's going to be great. It's just going to be a revival of the Isaiah Thomas Celtics.
Yes,
a lot of the actions that can be run are similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the leadership qualities are similar. I mean, I was just listening to Robert Williams gush about Kemba, and maybe he's just getting more media savvy. But have you noticed that everyone is congratulating Terry on getting his bag, and no one is congratulating Kyrie on getting his bag?
Right, right. It definitely shows you something. And speaking of Terry, right? So the Celtics worked out a sign and trade with the Hornets to get Terry there for 3 years, $58 million, which is kind of a huge number, if you ask me. But, you know, he's getting he got paid, though. Good for him. Have you ever seen – now, forget about, like, Kyrie. Everybody obviously was kind of sour on him at the end of the year when everything went downhill. But I don't think I've seen our fan base turn on anybody like they did on Terry when the reports started to come out that you know, he was kind of an issue this year, not accepting his role and whatnot, and maybe was one of the big reasons for the bad chemistry in the locker room. And once fans got a hold of that and some of his comments after the season, I mean, people soured on him really quick.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like, especially now that he's out of town, like the arc has swung and people are ultimately like happy for him? Like, I think he'll get a bigger cheer and ovation when he first plays in Boston again than Kyrie will.
Oh, I'm 1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it was such a perplexing downturn that the Celtics took that I think fans desperately wanted some sort of scapegoat. I think it was always obviously Kyrie, but the paradigm until 3 weeks ago was, well, he's going to re-sign here. So you couldn't, you know, I'm not married, but it'd be like shortly after or like in the engagement period, really wanting to turn things around. You're kind of lying to yourself.
Right.
So I just wrote a thing for Celtics Hub about how inherently unstable the Kyrie Irving experience was. Looking back, the writing was on the wall that this dude did not want to be in Boston or did not want to continue to be teammates with these Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the course of the season, fans and people who write about the Celtics weren't really ready. I mean, credit where credit's due. The only person that of consequence that like really was done with Kyrie was Bill Simmons. Everyone else was not. No one else was really ready to drive him to the airport the way Bill was.
Right.
The one time where Bill Simmons was loud right and we were loud wrong.
Everybody has their moment in the sun, right?
So we're saying good for Terry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see he got the, after seeing what happens to guys like IT, we'll get into him a little bit later too, for him to get paid and move on and have an opportunity to be the starting point guard over there. He could flourish.
He better. I mean, the Hornets are in rough shape with that.
Yeah, yes, they certainly
are. I think if you run the Terry Rozier simulation 100 times, 20 times out of 100, he becomes a fringe all-star level player.
Yep.
So there's totally a chance he thrives. I mean, who else is taking shots for the Hornets anyways?
Right.
But there's also a chance that that is just a hideous signing on their part.
Yeah, it could very well be. So, and then another guy that we lost, unfortunately, you were talking about this is kind of the return of the IT Celtics. It's really a shame we're not going to get to see Kemba Walker and Al Horford. We had late Sunday. We had a glimmer of hope that we were going to work out some kind of, way to bring Al back into the fold. But it seems like he had already moved on. He basically chose the Sixers over coming back. I think the option was there for him, right? I don't know what the money was. My thinking was the way that everything turned so quickly with Al leaving town. And I really think they kind of insulted him with a lowball offer or something. I mean, maybe this is something we'll find out down the road. Maybe not, because Al's a pretty respectable guy. But how do you feel about the way the Al Horford situation transpired going to the 76ers?
Yeah, that one surprised me too. I'm trying to put on a brave face here, but what the hell, man?
Yeah, it sucks.
I was pretty content with saying, I'm sure the Celtics made him a good offer, and I'm sure it wasn't as much money as he wanted, and I'm pretty at peace with that. I think it's his livelihood. He should, if he could get $90 million guaranteed, he should do that immediately.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that the Celtics should have paid him that much money, because they have other people that that they're going to need to pay.
Right.
But man, the Sixers, that was, especially how quickly it manifested. That, like we were saying, there's tampering left, right, and center. He clearly had conversations with the Sixers sometime before this weekend, this past weekend.
Right, right. For it to come to fruition that quickly, he already had an idea.
Because of how the Celtics did Isaiah Thomas dirty a few years ago, there's too much egg on Boston's face to ever really feel blindsided or spurned. You know what I mean? I feel like for the next decade, Celtics fans in the Celtics front office kind of just have to bite their tongue in that arena.
We talked about this a couple pods ago. It's certainly...
it's not bad karma. It's just we're in the business of... It's a business.
Yeah. Right. It is a bad look, though, the way that IT got traded. Then they had to hold up. And then it came out he was injured, and it was not a great look.
Right. So loyalty in the NBA is fickle and fleeting, and maybe a myth. And for that reason, of course, Al Horford should go get overpaid on the Sixers. No ill will there.
No, definitely not.
Because he wasn't. I mean, there's ill will with Kyrie Irving because he was a dick about it. Al Horford so far has not been.
Right. I mean, we haven't really heard much from Al at all.
Yeah, a Players Tribute Tribune thing would look tactless. I think he should just stay quiet for a while. I think when he comes back for his first game, it will be mostly cheers, but some boos. I think, I have some people that I've talked to that are truly pissed that he did this.
Yeah.
I think if I really put on my fan shoes, I'm pretty bummed and a little angry, but at the end of the day, Go get the money.
Totally understand. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That anyone took for granted, oh, he'll re-sign and take less money in a team-friendly deal. He's got that chocolate milk money coming in, but
right.
These are still huge chunks of cash that are being thrown around.
Yeah.
So
We act like these $1 million pay cuts are just a drop in the bucket for these guys, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Even for these guys.
It's upsetting because I don't know that it makes the Sixers that much better. I don't think it solved the problems that they had necessarily.
Well, now they don't have any shooters. I mean, Al's the best shooter on the team. JJ Redick's gone. Jimmy Butler on his way to the Heat in a Wild 4 team trade that we'll get to in one sec. Now they've got a formidable front court with Al and Embiid, and they seemingly stole away Embiid's kryptonite,
right?
So in Al Horford, but you know, I mean who's going to shoot the ball?
Right.
How are they going to spread that floor?
It's going to be crowded. Yeah, I don't know where Ben Simmons loves to hide, like on the opposite block from where Embiid's right. doing work. If Al's going to be there, where's he going to hide?
Yeah, I don't know. But that deal anyway, well, they do get Josh Richardson back from in that deal. So we got Hassan Whiteside going to the Blazers, Richardson coming to the Sixers, Maurice Harkless in a first round pick to the Clips, and Myers Leonard to the Heat.
Jimmy Butler can sign with Miami.
Right, exactly. So this shift of money. So Butler wasn't exactly in this trade, but it was a way for them to free up some cash and move some pieces around. I think Whiteside needed a change of scenery. I think that's a really cool move for the Blazers.
You know what's so spectacular about all of this? So it's Tuesday, July 3rd or 2nd or something? 2nd? Kawhi Leonard is still not on
the 2nd.
Team. So arguably the most important domino hasn't fallen, for at least for the next upcoming season.
But yeah.
I maybe quote me on this depending on how things shake out, but there's cash is going to be locked up for a lot of teams pretty soon. And next season mm-hmm. free agency is going to be pretty weak. I wouldn't be surprised if, either because of buyer's remorse or a bunch of other factors, that there's a huge trade period this upcoming season. Because maybe the Sixers do need to move Ben Simmons, you know? Maybe whatever Kawhi does is going to throw off everything. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. The Hassan Whiteside move, I agree. I think it's interesting, but it could be a disaster. So as much fun as this is now, it might be a peek behind the curtain of what's to come as teams just kind of like desperately run around like chickens with their head cut off.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before this how interesting it is that these teams, like how many sign trades and how many teams working together to move players around. The Celtics are reportedly still not done wheeling and dealing. We also brought in Enes Kanter yesterday for the room exception for 2 years at $10 million. There's so much movement and working together in these sign and trades and teams manipulating the cap and stuff. You know, it's wild. And every year it seems like free agent gets more and more wild, but I think it's kind of cool to see that the teams work together to help each other out. I mean, obviously we're not seeing arch rivals really help each other all that much, but you know, for teams to get under the cap and teams to unload salary, and this has been one of the wildest off seasons in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the window is finally open. I mean, when's the last time this many teams could talk themselves into contention, you know?
Right.
Which is like super exciting. I mean, you're right, the Celtics, and they know this, they're a move or two away, but they're in it. The Sixers are in it. I mean, there's in either conference, there's probably 4 or 5 teams that truly could make the finals, and that's new. That hasn't been the case in a while.
And like you said, with one where the Celtics could be a move or two away, but I think right now, bringing in Kanter, you can go into the season with this roster or pretty close to the roster that you've got here and allow some of the young guys to play a little bit, maybe, you know, get Robert Williams some time in there, see what you have there. And you know, they can still make a move at the deadline and add a big guy. I mean, they're going to need another veteran big at some point, you would think. But you know, we got some intriguing.
Well, you and I are talking about this. I mean, yeah, Boogie Cousins is still out there. Boogie Cousins is still out there. There's still some splashy moves that could be made.
Yeah, and he was reportedly interested in the Celtics last year. Remember, it was down to the Celtics and the Blazers. The Warriors. Sorry. And you know, so maybe there's some mutual interest there. We were talking about this before we got on the pod. Like I can't see the Celtics bringing in like another crazy head this year, but I mean, certainly the most talented big guy out there.
Right, because, well, so here's a quick list of bigs that are still available. And like we said, I think, so they're going to use the Rome exception on Kanter. Unless they free up more cash, it's all vet minimum, except because they can re-sign Marcus Morris over the cap, or no, because they've renounced his rights. That I truly don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That'd be a question for Justin. So he can add in his.
we're just pissing in the wind over here.
Right.
Marcus Morris is out there. Willie Cauley-Stein is newly available. Joakim Noah is technically out there. Greg Monroe, Kenneth Faried, Zaza, Chuck Diallo. Noah Vonleh would be interesting, although I bet he could fetch more than the minimum. But that's it. I mean, there's some people you can take a flyer on, like Mona Yunus. I don't think he's been in the league for the past season, but you never know. Boban, he's out there. That would, I mean, the fans would get, weird Celtics Twitter would have.
Would it might explode.
Well, here's, ready for this. You know who I think is still technically available is Rajon Rondo. Their backcourt, the Celtics backcourt looks pretty full, but you never know.
Yeah, no, and you know, he'd probably welcome a return to Boston if he knew he's going to play a role. I mean, he's probably at the point of his career where he wants to know he's going to play.
Right.
But yeah, it's that. I mean, they're probably one of those big guys you just named off will probably end up here, or someone else that we're not talking about, because you have to imagine they're going to bring in another veteran guy. But I really hope that whoever they bring in, they still. You know, I'd really love to see Rob Williams get a chance to play. Yep. I mean, we're going to see him in a few days, summer league starts. But there's some talent there. And, you know, if he can – I feel like a lot of times guys – and this isn't just the Celtics. This is good teams in general. Some of these young players get buried, and they really don't get an opportunity at all to play. And, I mean, we don't see what they're doing in practice every day. So, obviously, you know, what that's – you know, obvious, but it's just to not ever see some of these guys get a chance because they're on good teams and blocked is kind of frustrating.
It'll be really interesting. I mean, if you take Rob Williams at what we think his second year ceiling might be, him and Kanter is not terrible at 1-2 punch at the center position. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to have like a more solid power forward, stretch four kind of option than say. I see people slotting Tatum as the power forward, and I guess that makes sense. I still think of him as a guard, but he's sneaky, huge.
He's got the length,
it would be nice. I like Tice's game, but he's just not.
He's more of a utility knife that can come in and do a lot of different things, exactly. But you don't want to see play 25 minutes there. Maybe if we can bring Morris back, if that is an option and we can work the way to do that, he would be a good fit for that.
I feel like he's,
you know,
Lakers.
That may very well be the case.
I think Iguodala's going to go to the Lakers too. I think the Lakers are going to have a lot of like fun, villainous kind of players.
Villainous.
Well, Iguodala is like one of the nicest guys in the league, but he's got gravel in his gut, you know.
Right.
All right.
I'm holding out hope that this is Kawhi not making a decision is sabotaging them, so they can't you know, leaving all that space and let everybody else get signed, so that they get screwed at
the Raptors or the.
And yeah, I'd prefer him to go to the Clippers just to leave the Eastern Conference a little more open for us. But the I'll take the Raptors. I can settle for
because that's another domino. If the Raptors do miss out on Kawhi, are they really just going to run it back?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, right? You have to. I mean, what are they going to do? Right. You know, the Kyle Lowry Raptors. I don't know.
I mean,
they've got some good young players, but
I think whoever doesn't get Kawhi, so just for chaos' sake, I want Kawhi to go to the. Lakers, so there's a big bad target on their chest, and then the Clippers and the Raptors. Between the two of them, one of them would blow it up, I would imagine.
Yeah, so there'd be some pieces for us available.
Chaos in the league is fun.
Yeah, chaos is always fun.
Conservatively, at present, we kind of know what the Celtics are going into the season. Right. And it doesn't suck. I mean, hopefully Hayward is – I mean, I don't know if he'll ever be the same player, but hopefully he's that much healthier. you hope that Jalen and Jason are continuing to make progress. And it doesn't look too bad for the Celtics. I mean, the top of the East could be kind of scary, but I don't know. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and if – like, especially if Kawhi does leave Toronto, I mean, we're going to see a lot of our formidable opponents at the top there losing huge parts of their team. I mean, Philly, who knows what the hell's going to happen with them? Yes, they got Horford, but we already said they could be a disaster. You
right,
know?
With the Bucks. I mean, so many of the Bucks' important role players played better than I would ever anticipate they could play.
Right, Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah. Well, even Brook Lopez. I mean, I love Brook Lopez, but – you gonna do yeah. that again for next season right. and beyond?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, seems unlikely. And they didn't get there as it was. So
I mean, it's still Giannis. This is conference, even if Kawhi leaves. I mean, God, if Kawhi resigns, just big, bad, scary wings will rule the day. The Celtics don't quite have that currency.
Right. Right. So, well, let's take us through the moves around the league. There's been a ton of stuff. We're going to go through it real quick and whether we'd like them or not, and just quick thoughts on the stuff that happened.
Yeah, so we're calling this game See It or Miss It, as in, yeah, I see what they're doing there, or miss me with that. So in seemingly no particular order, I'll read off a deal, and you tell me if you see it, if you're feeling that, or if you're feeling miss it. Thad Young to Chicago for 3 years and $41 million.
Kind of misses me.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
I guess you have to spend the money, right? Is that to get them above the threshold?
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, I guess they need some leadership on that team. They also brought in Satoransky for 3 years, $30 million. Also, I can see it, but mostly miss it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're movable contracts. These guys are signed at reasonable, what, $10 million a year, right. About... Thad Young a little more than that, so movable pieces. They probably needed to get over the threshold, but I don't really know that.
Everyone is piling on the Knicks. If anyone listening has had their head underground for the past few days, the Knicks have just loaded up on role players, which seems preposterous, but they're all really flexible deals. They're all technically expiring because they carry team options and stuff like that, so they're going to be incredible buyers if an all-star turns up, or they can just sell their pieces and take on better assets at the deadline. So,
They'll be definitely grabbing some, they'll certainly be sellers and they can scoop some picks from desperate teams, you know, trying to make a move.
Yeah.
So.
Anyone that wants, I mean, Taj Gibson, Elfrid Payton, like any contender or pseudo contender could totally talk themselves into giving up a first round pick for something like that. So I'm out of order, but I see what the Knicks are doing. It's still like the Knicks. It's not great, but I get it. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, back to the game. So we're both mostly missing it on Chicago.
Missing that.
Okay. Dallas, they signed Kristaps to a 5-year, $158 million deal. Seth Curry, 4 years, $32 million. And they brought back J.J. Barea. I see that. And then Kleber, 4 years, $35 million. How do you feel about Dallas?
Well, I mean, I guess I see it. The Kristaps, obviously, they were looking to re-sign him. That they didn't make that deal for nothing. So, you know, and the other guys are, you know, good role players. I get the Barea thing too. I see that.
Oh, this list isn't alphabetical order by team. I'm an idiot. All right, on to Denver. They gave Jamal Murray 5 years and $175 million, which is preposterous. And Paul Millsap, they picked up his player option for $30 million. I feel like I see it, although they didn't do anything else, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess they're just running it back, right? They had a great regular season. I see it because, I mean, even if you feel like these guys are overpaid, it's – you know, they couldn't let him walk, and, you know, obviously that's what they have to do.
All right, this one's weird. Detroit, D-Rose, 2 years, $15 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a huge lottery ticket, right? Sell some tickets and, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
pretty easy money. I mean, I can see it.
Their situation is so just, like, screwy, and what else are they going to do, I guess? So I see it.
Right, exactly.
I see it from that point of view, but I don't know. That's another one where it's like, I don't know that Lightning that was caught in that bottle. is something that you can rely on for 2 years anyways. Golden State, I almost like if this could be its own podcast. So they max Clay, they sign and trade max D'Angelo Russell. Now they're also taking on Shabazz Napier, and then they traded out Trevion Graham and Iggy, and then they brought back Looney a day later for probably the best deal of the offseason, 3 years, $15 million.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were hoping that he could somehow slip to us in Boston. Thinking he was going to be in. How do they work these cap gymnastics every year?
It's pretty
remarkable.
And
they got really lucky with the D'Lo thing too, because of the Kyrie situation, right? I mean, you're not, you know, if you're Brooklyn, you're not ditching your all-star point guard, and unless you're getting somebody better, so kind of crazy. They got younger, right. Held on to Klay Thompson. Obviously, you know, it's they lost Durant, but pretty, I think things worked out pretty well for them, considering.
And if only because I was talking myself into D'Angelo Russell for the Celtics, because he maybe would be a piece that you'd move later for a more established star. Now the Golden State Warriors have an incredible trade chip. I would think that they would eventually have to trade him for two or three more serviceable players, you know, just because there's going to be a problem again. But both the Celtics and the Warriors have pivoted pretty spectacularly from what could otherwise be devastating news.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of devastating, Houston has not imploded or really done anything. They brought back Austin Rivers, 2 years on the minimum. That's a good deal. Gerald Green they brought back, and Daniel House they brought back. All on team-friendly deals, but that's about it.
Yeah, and considering we were hearing all this talk of, I mean, maybe they're still shopping Chris Paul and trying to unload that monstrosity of a contract.
I'm sure I'm going to make Celtics life history by using this term probably for the first time ever in this podcast history. Did you see that Chris Paul said James Harden had man boobs?
Yes, I did. I saw this on who was it that posted this in the first place? Because I did see this on Twitter.
I don't know. So amazing. Who knows what's going to happen in Houston? Miss it, because I don't believe that. I believe the hype that there's some serious strife there. And
yeah, I just don't see how they couldn't have made a bigger seismic shakeup. And maybe that's still on the way, but that now with all the free agents cooped up, I don't see why. What makes any sense? You're just gonna have James Harden.
Trade Chris Paul for D'Angelo Russell in December.
There you go.
All right. Anyways, Indiana. I'm sure we both see it. They got Malcolm Brogdon for 4 years, $85 million. Jeremy Lamb for 3 years, almost $32 million. And Edmund Sumner, who I don't know who that is, but Brogdon and Lamb. That's great.
Yeah, that's a great haul for them, and when they get back their star in Oladipo next year, they're certainly going to be an improved team.
Yeah, Thad Young hurt, but that's more minutes for Sabonis and Miles Turner. So, fantastic.
Yep.
All right. The Clippers brought back Pat Bev. They traded away Mo Harkless, but it's just a big question mark because we don't know if Kawhi is going there or not.
Yeah, I mean, if they get Kawhi, then A-plus offseason. I think bringing back Pat Bev is great. That's a team-friendly deal. They can certainly trade him if they had to.
Patrick Beverley was playing in, like, the Ukraine 5 years ago, and now he has a three-year, $40 million contract. That's amazing.
He's their Marcus Smart over there.
Marcus Smart in the Ukraine. Oh, my God.
That would be wild.
That show for sure. Chernobyl wouldn't have happened, I'll tell you that. All right, the Lakers got Muscala. But I don't know that the details are out, or at least they're not in our notes, so no one knows them. Troy Daniels and maybe Iggy, but they're a work in progress too, so it looks like it's a miss it unless they get Kawhi, but even then, they're going to have to fill 10 roster spots with veteran minimums. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think they're being – I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of these guys that are left, they're going to fill in with some of those role players we were talking about before. They'll get them on veteran minimum deals for – a run at a title, especially some of the aging guys. But yeah, if they don't get Kawhi, if they get Kawhi, I mean, really, you can surround those three guys with anybody, and they're gonna be pretty tough to beat. But if they don't and it's just LeBron and Davis, that's a different, totally different animal, I think.
I think that they'll get desperate and overpay for a star, although I don't know how many assets they have left. I don't know. They're teetering right between see it and miss it for me. So Miami, I'm sure and agree that they see it. They got Jimmy Butler and Myers Leonard, and they did so by getting rid of Hassan Whiteside and a little bit of other stuff. That's still a work in progress, too, because I think Goran Dragic may or may not be out of town. Kelly Olynyk, same thing. But for a team that was just so – their cap situation and asset situation was a mess. So that they were able to land a all-star caliber player was good for them.
Right. Yeah. No, agreed. 1,000%.
Milwaukee re-signs Chris Middleton at 5 years, $178 million. And Brooke Lopez, 4 years, $25 million. And Robin Lopez, 2 years. I mean, that is just a spectacularly fun pairing.
That will be fun.
And they brought back George Hill at 3 for $29 million. But then they got Wes Matthews on a minimum, which is kind of a cool flyer. So I mostly see it, but I could.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Brogdon's a tough loss, but you know, they're basically running it back. I can't see why, especially since if Kawhi's gone, I mean, the Eastern Conference is wide open for them, unless the Celtics are a lot better than most people think they'll be. I mean, we obviously have a little more hope than other teams around the East, but the you know, they could very easily find themselves in the finals.
Kind of glossed over how terrible the Boston Celtics will be on defense next year, and it seems like the only person in the conference that could slow down Giannis was Kawhi. So if Kawhi is West Coast bound, I don't know if there's a force on Earth this side of the Mississippi that can. I mean, obviously Durant is his own weird unicorn, but he's hurt, so maybe that's not an issue this season. Milwaukee running it back. I see it. And I love the Wes Matthews thing. I'm rooting for him very hard. Minnesota, they got Shabazz Napier. They took in Graham from the KD D'Lo thing. They're going to get Jordan Bell. But otherwise, that's a nothing burger. They're missing it.
They've got Karl Anthony Towns, and I mean, is his contract up next year, or is it the year after? I don't know, but
no, because he signed
up. Oh, that's right. You're right. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. You have a talent like that who's just wasting away over there.
Yeah. God, Minnesota. Anyways, from one dumpster fire, we talked about the Knicks, so we're on to another. But then New Orleans is anything but a dumpster fire at the moment, because they got J.J. Redick, 2 years, $26.5 million. That's probably an overpay, but it's a movable contract if they need to. Because it's good salary filler, right? Like if you want to bring in a star, you need some overpaid players. I love what New Orleans has done. I feel like there was another move that they had that's not in our list. Did they pick anyone else up, or am I missing that? Whatever, either way, top to bottom. Oh, and they got Derek Favors.
Love that.
Right. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, and like you said, movable deals. I mean, Redick's a guy that if, you know, things aren't working out, you could totally deal him for a pretty decent draft pick and maybe a young player and some salary filler. I mean, you know, there's going to be teams that need shooting. We were talking about Philly. Now, obviously, he just came from Philly, but there's going to be teams like that need to fill in a role, spread their floor, and contending teams. So, I mean, if things don't work out over there, it's totally – you know, a guy that you can get at the deadline and then have for the following season, ideal.
I don't know. I mean, they still struggle so much with attendance, but it's definitely going to be a league pass team. I hope that the city of New Orleans, they're going to have to get creative with how they build something sustainable in terms of fandom, because it just seems like the city is not that interested. Maybe they can partner with the Saints the way the Bruins and the Red Sox work together or something, but I mean, on paper, it's a good basketball team, right? Okay, the Thunder got Alec Burks, but they're kind of sitting on their hands. I mean, they are so cash-strapped. I don't know. I hope that they free Steven Adams and he goes elsewhere, but and hopefully to Boston if that calculus is doable. But I missed it for me from Oklahoma City just because there's nothing to see.
Yeah, and I don't know how much they could have done, but you know, you would have think they would have been able to convince some guys to go there and be the missing pieces that they need because they have talent. But yeah, just certainly nothing to write about.
And then Orlando, this one's fun. So they re-signed Vucevic to 4 years, $100 million. Pretty good deal, in my opinion. Michael Carter-Williams is going to come back for a year. Terrence Ross at 4 years, $54 million. And Al-Farouq Aminu for 3 years, $29 million. Those, maybe that salary filler again for a future deal. The Terrence Ross one is preposterous. Miss me with that.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, the rest of it makes total sense. So, I mean, I would give him a net positive.
I like the Vucevic deal. They still, I mean, there's still so much length on that team. They'll probably have to, I mean, maybe that's an avenue for the Celtics. Go figure out if Mo Bamba is worth anything. Because there's a lot of front court depth in Orlando and not enough minutes to go around. But mostly I see what they're doing. It's Orlando. There's only so much they could do. Speaking of which, Phoenix. So I guess mostly we're in agreement. Orlando, good job out of them. Maybe not the same thing for Phoenix. Phoenix signs Rubio for 3 years, $51 million. Dwayne Dedmon for 3 years, $41 million. And Frank Kaminsky, 2 years, $10 million. I guess not terrible. It's not like any sort of logical step forward for a team that's been in the basement for a while, but they're interesting moves.
Yeah, I mean, good on Rubio getting paid again. I mean, but we were looking at it as like an option. Like when we were on the podcast last week and talking about how, you know, we were thinking Rubio was an option for us at the mid-level exception. You know what I mean? And here he is making a pretty hefty ransom there. I guess veteran leadership.
Well, there's that
young team
that they didn't want to put D'Angelo Russell next to Booker because they wanted to protect Booker or something. So then they went and got a lesser point guard in Ricky Rubio. Like, what? I don't understand the logic there. Why? Just get the best available talent. What are you talking about? But I don't know. So sort of miss me with it, but they still have some interesting young players. So put a pin in Phoenix, I guess. But that's probably being generous. They're probably going to suck.
Yeah, that's I probably.
Portland brought back Rodney Hood for 2 years, $16 million. A 2 year minimum deal for Mario Hezonja. They're bringing in Whiteside, who has 1 year left on his deal, so I think he's an expiring. And Anthony Tolliver for 1 year, $2.6 million.
Yeah, I mean, overachieving team last year. I mean, they're kind of basically going back in, right? Bringing in Whiteside's interesting. Shake things up a little bit, give him some size. I think they're going to be around near the top of the Western Conference.
Cool. I'm in agreement. They need something on the wing, but So doesn't everyone, right? If you don't have Kawhi, Giannis, Durant, or LeBron, you don't have anything. So we'll see what happens. Sacramento does have something on the wing. They got Harrison Barnes, 4 years, $85 million. They also signed Trevor Ariza, 2 years, $25 million. Corey Joseph, 3 years, $37 million. Holmes, 2 years, $50 million. And then the Kings are so weird. Trevor Ariza, 2 years, $35 million.
Yeah, Ariza doesn't make much sense. Some of the other guys, whatever, probably movable deals, but they're going to be an interesting, fun team to watch. I really like the way they were playing. I mean, I don't know. It's, I guess, bringing Barnes. You know, you got to have somebody shoot, right? I mean, someone's gonna take all those shots. I mean, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, they partially healed. I mean, they're still fun. There's still some positive.
Yeah, they're a league pass team for sure.
Yeah, but plus it's Sacramento. I mean, I don't know that that's a free agent destination, so maybe that's just how they have to operate. They'll make some noise.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a Harrison Barnes, that's probably about what you're going to get. I mean, we're not going to – although we heard rumblings of Al Horford there, but that was kind of shot down pretty quick.
That was their rumblings.
That might have been them throwing their pole out there.
Yeah, I don't take too much stock in those sort of rumblings. This one, from one bad team to one very good team, this is a miss it and an upsetting one. The Spurs are going to bring back Rudy Gay for 2 years, $32 million, and they got Damari Carroll for 2 years, $13 million. San Antonio's teeny tiny, and maybe they're not a free agent destination either, but I would love to have seen something more substantial from the Spurs.
Yeah, what happened to the mighty, mighty Spurs?
I mean, they never really did their dirty work with free agency, and so maybe we shouldn't expect that much, but they're kind of...
Right, I mean, all those guys, yeah, you're right. The Parker, Duncan, these were all guys drafted, and they just built through the draft. You know, they got a little lucky with that, the ping pong balls with getting Tim Duncan in the first place. And then just, you know, having a guy, a Hall of Famer like him for his entire career like that certainly helps.
Yeah, they're going to overachieve, and they'll make the playoffs per usual once again, but it's not enough. I can't imagine what.
No,
who knows? Maybe they're not one to really take a gamble on a big trade, but maybe there's something out there for them. Toronto, again, is kind of a work in progress. We don't know what's going to happen. Marc Gasol did opt into his $25.6 million deal, which makes sense because he's 35, so take that money. But I don't think we can weigh in yet because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of being held at gunpoint right now by Kawhi. They were hamstrung with that. So, unfortunately, if he does leave, which I think is probably more likely than not, they're going to be screwed.
Utah got Bogdanovich for 4 years, $73 million. I love that. And Ed Davis, 2 years, $10 million. And then they also obviously got Mike Connolly. I think Utah, I mean, besides the Nets, might have had the best offseason.
Yeah, they've done a great job pivoting since they lost Hayward a few years back. And they got a little lucky in the draft with Mitchell, getting him where they got him. But, you know, they've rebounded much better than most of these, like, obscure city teams do from these losing a star like that.
No, I'm pumped to watch Utah Jazz basketball next year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we both see it for Utah, and then poor Washington. They brought back Bryant for 3 years, $25 million. They're bringing in Ish Smith. He was on Detroit last year, right? 2 years, $12 million. And then, What a great way to conclude this segment of the podcast. Isaiah Thomas signed a minimum deal with the Washington Wizards because all that man needs is an opportunity.
And well, he's going to get it, right? Because John Wall's out there. He's going to be the starting
point
guard, right?
Ish Smith will start, but if Isaiah's healthy.
No, that's true. That's true. So, I mean,
I think health has been an underrated barrier for him, especially last year with the Nuggets.
So maybe Isaiah goes into that role of that everyone kind of always thought he would be, that sixth man off the bench, scoring and you know, changing, kind of really changes the direction of a game. And, you know, if he gets the minutes to play, and I know all of us in Celtics life and most, pretty much 99% of Celtics fans want to see him succeed, even if it's with a rival like Washington. So we're excited about that. Good on IT. And we hope he can return to form, and next year maybe he'll get a better contract than a 1 year fat min. So, but he's got to prove itself here, and I hope he gets an opportunity to play. Guys, don't forget to check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the next game under that heading. You can find the pod on Wooshka, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Himalaya, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure you let us know in the comment of any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. Guys, for me and Cam, take it easy.
All right, yeah. Well, we made it this far. That's pretty good.